Extremely interesting, Rashi, about a concept called Tikkun Sofrim. The literal translation of Tikkun Sofrim, which there's a lot of debate around, but I'll tell you what I think is correct, and I think the starting point. If you take the word Tikkun Sofrim literally, it means that there are certain words in the Torah that are a little bit insensitive. They're not curse words, they're not negative words, but they're not sensitive talk, they're not private talk, and Sofrim later came and changed it. Tikkun Sofrim. They changed the words. There are 18 of them in the Torah. Now, that's a very, very provocative and potentially heretical concept, because we believe that every word in the Torah was delivered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Kiva goes up to Shemayim, sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu carefully affixing crowns to every letter. So the concept that human beings were then alter the Torah, and consequently, that our Torah is not the original Torah at Har Sinai, it's hard to imagine, and the Maharal doesn't interpret it that way. So let me first read it for you, the one we have in our parsha. This is the first one in the Torah. Then I'll explain it, how the Maharal explains it, and then we'll ask, well, why is the Torah going out of its way to create this phenomenon of Tikkun Sofrim? Moshe, Avram was being visited by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wait a second, I've got Malachim to attend to, I've got visitors. Malachim, people, does Avram ever know that they're Malachim? Does he feel that they're still, either way, there's Hachnasas Orachim. And we learn how important Hachnasas Orachim is, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits, and Avram feels comfortable delaying this encounter with the Shekhinah for Hachnasas Orachim. Great. It all unfolds. Sarah's informed. Sarah laughs about the story. At some point, the Malachim, the people, leave. Vayifnu misham ha'nashim, vayelchu stoma. And now they're about to start this journey to annihilate stone. V'Avraham odenu omed lifnei Hashem. And now the Torah is reverting back to the original story. By the way, Avram is still hosting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'll continue this interaction. And the continuation will have Avram praying and negotiating on behalf of stone. 50 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim. So that's the sequencing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits Avram. That visit is paused or delayed for the Malachim to unfold. It's a little parenthesis. The Malachim / visitors end. That visit ends. And now, by the way, the Torah is informing you, by the way, Avram is still standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That interaction will continue, and it will lead to negotiations. The problem is, Avram was never standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram was sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu yoshev pesach ha'ol kachom hayom. That's the whole point of the Gilui Shechina with Anna. So it shouldn't be that Avram was standing in front of Hashem. It should be Hashem was still there with Avram, or Hashem was standing in front of Avram. That's what the Torah should write, rather than V'Avraham odenu omed lefnei Hashem. So Rashi writes two words, Tikkun Sofrim. If you read Rashi literally, that means that the original Torah wrote that Hashem was standing in front of Avram, but the Sofrim came and changed it. It's very difficult. The Maharal, this is not the only approach, but I think this is the approach I'm most comfortable with. I want to be honest with you. But the Maharal's approach is, there's no change. The words of the Torah are immutable. No one's changing any letters or words in the Torah. It's the Torah wrote it lechatchila. The style that Hashem wrote the Torah was in a way that would appear to the reader as if there was an original intention that makes more sense literally. But if that intention was last minute altered by a sofer in order to create more discretion and more dignity. Namely, why does the Torah even have to write this? Let the Torah write it in a way that wouldn't even invite. We're all reading it. We're expecting the next word to be Hashem standing in front of Avram. And now the Torah writes in a way that, no, it was Avram standing in front of Hashem. Why does the Torah even get into that sticky situation? Let the Torah write it in a way that won't even say who's standing in front of whom. Let the Torah just write it in a way that says they were together, or Hashem was still Nigla with Avram. Why does the Torah have to write it in a way that you'd expect it to say Hashem is standing in front of Avram? And that, so this is, the Torah writes it intentionally in a way that suggests that there was an original version, and then there was an adjusted version, or an adopted version. Another famous example, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Baloscha is frustrated. He can't stand being a Shana Aleph Rebbe. He's tired. He doesn't want to give, he says, I'm too tired, I'm just working so hard, and I'd rather you take my life, the Al Ereb Birasi, and I don't want to see my own demise, my own failure. It should have written V'al Ereb Birasam. I don't want to see the Jewish people being punished. I don't want to see them suffering. I'd rather just leave this earth rather than see their suffering. But that would be nice for Moshe Rabbeinu in a moment of frustration to prophesize or to intimate that the Jewish people are going to suffer or decline. So the Sofrim, quote-unquote, wink-wink, changed it to Ale Rebbe Rasam to Ale Rebbe Rasi. It's just another example. There are 18 of these. Those are the two. There are three in Chumash, the rest are in Tanakh. Those are two or three. There's a list. You can find the list that you can Google it. There's an interesting list. So the Maharal is saying no Sofrim changed anything. The Torah writes it in a way that the reader could say, oh, it should have said A, but it said B. There's some change here. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it that way, Lechatchila. So now the question is why? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu write it that way? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just avoid the whole issue and just write it in a manner? Moshe, not every word that Moshe said was written. So this whole part of his frustration should be excised, should be omitted. This whole part of who stood in front of whom, we don't need that information. The answer is twofold. First of all, always in life there's a balance between privacy, discretion, not sharing information, not saying things, and honesty and accuracy. Sometimes you can be so discreet and so sensitive that you just, you don't give, you, the easiest way to be discreet and sensitive is not to say anything, not to share anything, just to bottle up, not to, in relationships, in conveying information, but then communication breaks down. So we call that, in our world, we call that PC. Excess PC means we're just so careful about what we say, who we say, what we call a person. I can't call him he, I can't call him she, I can't call him, that there's no communication. It all just becomes just a breakdown, no information. So you want to convey information, and there's always a tension. And it's a tension you have to learn how to calibrate between. On the one hand, you want to be forthcoming. On the one hand, you want to be honest. You want to be accurate. You want to share. You want to be precise. You want to help. On the other hand, you have to learn sometimes, and some people who say things that are insensitive or aren't careful about, I'm not talking about cursing. I'm not talking about Lashon Hara. Those are really toxic forms of communication. It's just learning how to say the right thing at the right time, not to share secrets, not to share confidentiality. Sometimes there are people that violate some of that confidentiality is because they really want to be helpful. They really want to share. They're not looking to be manipulative or malicious. They just want to share information accurately. And the Torah wants to help us address that, that Hashem wants us to know that Hashem was standing in front of Avram, but that's not the right way to speak. So, second question is, why is it called a Tikkun Sofrim? So then just call it something else. Why do Chazal call it a Tikkun Sofrim? Call it Shmiras HaSot. Call it HaKadosh. The answer is because the Sofer's role is always to correct the misses. It's like autocorrect. The software is basically autocorrect. When you type into your computer or to your cell phone, it's an autocorrect. So the king or the prince, whoever's giving the missive, is speaking very quickly. He's dictating. And then the software says, okay, it's my job. Otherwise, there won't be any skill in being a software. All the software, the Achashtranim B'nai HaMelech and Megillas Esther and Nebuchadnezzar began his career as a software. He just write down what he wrote. He can have a voice dictation. The answer is the sufferer has to then apply discretion and judgment. What did the king say that should be conveyed? What did the king say that didn't? It takes a lot of authority and a lot of sensitivity and a lot of wisdom. And we're all in the role of sufferer at some point because people say things sometimes in a moment of haste, very quickly, when they want to give information, and then we want to relay that information. We're the second level. We're that second filter. So sometimes when you hear something, the person may have said something in a shiur, in a context, and then you as a sofer have to know what should I convey, what should I not convey, how should I convey it. You have to apply discretion for the information you receive, not just the way you speak. So sometimes we're the speakers, and we have to learn how to speak with discretion and sensitivity while we're trying and attempting to accurately convey information. Sometimes we're the relayers, we're the second level, and just because you hear something doesn't mean you have to repeat it, doesn't mean you have to relay it. You have to then apply certain modifications or filters to know when and where to say it. So it's a very, very fascinating concept that a Kodesh Baruch Hu would create a phenomena or a dynamic where you're expecting as an audience to read a certain conclusion and the conclusion is dashed or altered, and that's called a Tikkun Sofrim. Why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu write it that way? In order to teach us discretion and privacy, but the balance between that and accuracy and precision, and also that not everything you hear has to be conveyed. It's a fascinating Rashi, two words. A lot of people just don't know what it means, Tikkun Sofrim. So if some men sat down and just changed the words, I would like to believe, and I think the Maharal and most of our Chachamim approach it that way, there is some dissent. Human beings never change the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu writes it originally in that fashion. How much time do we have? Another minute or two. Okay, just another famous Rashi, very famous phrase. Avram says, Yizdavin to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Anochi Afar Reifar. That becomes the paradigm of humility. Afar Reifar. I'm not humble, I'm not modest, I'm Afar Reifar. Yet if you read Rashi, not exactly what we expect Rashi to write. Rashi writes, Afar Reifar. Remember, Avram's praying for a stone. He says, you know what? I was in that situation. I could have been Afar and I could have been Afar, and you saved me. Please save stone. When was he afar? When was he almost afar? When was he almost afar? He was almost afar during the Kivshan Eish. So this is an allusion to what's missing in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Kivshan Eish story. And the afar is, I was almost afar during the War of the Kings. Now, why he sees himself as potentially afar during the War of the Kings? Probably because there was a lot of mud and dirt in that war. Remember, there were these muddy pits that they fell into. It was a swampy area. So he probably felt it's a very muddy war. People came back very dirty from that war. It wasn't a clean war, people sitting with drones and in back rooms in Tel Aviv. It was a very muddy, dirty war. So when he thought that he may have lost that war, or may have been defeated, he associated with afar. So he says, I was also afar for afar, or almost afar for afar, and you rescued me, rescue stone. So this is really a deviation. Ask 10 people on the street, what does afar v'efer mean? It's a sign of modesty. Rashi says, no, it's not humility. It's Avraham trying to ask Hashem for the same compassion that Hashem extended to Avraham. Please extend it to stone. So what's happening here? Why do we associate it with humility? Number one, because Avraham is being grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's hard to be grateful if you're not humble. If you're very, very arrogant and you think you feel deserved and entitled, then you're not grateful because you deserve. You're the center of the universe. People that deserve to serve you. You've paid for these services. And generally, there's a reciprocal relationship between humility and gratitude. Stalin was very worried that some of his officers would feel gratitude. So he once said that gratitude is a sickness suffered by dogs. And dogs are grateful. Human beings aren't grateful. Stalin was not exactly a role model for humility. Let's put it that way. So these are not necessarily separate traits. They're the same trait. The interpretation of afar v'efer is humility, and the interpretation of afar and efer is gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are very, very similar in the human heart. If you're humble, you'll be grateful. The more gratitude you express, the more humble you'll be. So there are two, it's a double entendre. Does afar v'efer mean he's humble? Does afar v'efer mean he's grateful? It's both. Now the question is, why in this setting? Everyone could have said afar v'efer a million times. Why is it in this setting that he says, I'm grateful for your compassion and you rescued me from the war? He could have said it at the Akedah. He could have said it when... The answer is he's trying to daven for people. And on a technical level, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, same compassion you showed me, please show them. But it's more than just technical. By the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm reminding you that you're a compassionate being, and by the way, you... Hashem doesn't need reminders. Hashem doesn't say, oh, just like, by the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you saved me, save stone. It's that whenever you daven for someone, and you're not in a moment of crisis, and think about this as you're davening for the people down south, and Baruch Hashem, it seems like things are settling down. Sometimes you share a crisis with someone, and then you daven alongside, and you feel the same pain, fear, anxiety, or anxiousness that they feel. But very often, you're davening, you're healthy, Baruch Hashem, and someone's ill. You're Baruch Hashem financially solvent, the other person is struggling. You're satisfied with your life, the other person's facing adversity. And you could daven one of two ways. You could daven, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have the peace of mind, and I've got the resources right now, and I'm altruistic, and I'm going to try to daven on their behalf, which I would call davening at a distance. I'm not in a state of crisis. I don't have those same types of needs, but they do, and I'll daven for them, which I think is legitimate, but certainly not as meaningful at a davening level as if you feel that same sense of crisis. Now, how could you feel the same sense of crisis if you're comfortable there? Because you look back to your past, and inevitably, you were in a moment in your past at some point where you had a similar... Not everyone is invulnerable. Everyone goes through fragility in life. We like to avoid thinking about it when we're comfortable because it reminds us of mortality and delicacies. When we're comfortable, we don't want to feel about the last time you were sick, the last time you had surgery, the last time you didn't have money, the last time... But Avram is not afraid. Avram's going back to those moments of fragility. He was about to die. The Kivshan Eish, he was about to be Afer, about to be Afer, and says, I may be comfortable now. He's pretty comfortable now. Now he already knows he's going to have a son. He has a wife. He has a place to live. So this is a relative moment of comfort for Avraham. He's not battling the same way he battles in Lech Lecha, but he says, there were times in my life that I wasn't as comfortable as I am now. And those could all return in a moment. I'm a fragile human being. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are other people who are fragile. So it's a way to connect to people when you daven. I'll talk about this in Maloscha. Moshe Rabbeinu visits Miriam and wants to just embrace her when she has tzaras. So what does he say? I also had tzaras. When did Moshe have tzaras? In Mitzrayim, when he put his hand into his clothing. What? Miriam's going to laugh at him and say, let's compare tzaras, right? Let's compare your tzaras. My whole body is stricken. It's embarrassing. Everyone knows about it. It's public. And I'm suffering for 7 days. And you had tzaras for a second on your pinky when no one was watching. Very nice, Moshe Rabbeinu. The answer is Moshe is trying to find the closest part of his life, the closest experience to lock into what you're at. And I'm trying to think about when I was in a situation similar to yours, so I can feel your pain a little bit. I know it's not the same, but feel my pain a little bit, because not everyone is as invulnerable as they delude themselves into thinking. So Avraham Avinu returns to those moments that he was almost alfa refer, so that he could daven more fervently for people that are about to be annihilated, because he feels, you know what, I could be in their position. What would it take for me to be? Always ask yourself, whenever someone's in the hospital, whenever someone needs staka, what would it take for your positions to swap? What would it take for you? How many events, how many accidents, one or two changes in your life, you could be the person in the hospital bed, chas v'shalom. You could be the person who stops a crash and you need. So don't try to create division and separation between yourself and the person suffering. Try to realize how close you really are. That's what Avraham is trying to lock into from those moments in his life when he was in a stone, vulnerable moment. Okay, so two interesting Rashi. One very interesting Rashi, Tikkun Sofrim. Second interesting Rashi, Afer V'Efer, but not the Afer V'Efer of your grandpa. Not the Afer V'Efer that we all assume it was, that you're humble, but Afer V'Efer that you're grateful, which is part of humility, but certainly in this context, it reminds Avram of his fragility. Okay, we'll stop here. A couple other interesting Rashi.
Must be the
Medrash
of the Afer
V'Efer.
Avram threw soldiers.
And then now this Medrash. Is it Medrash?
It's a Medrash.
Thank you.
That's how we won the war.
He throws the stand again?
That he had some magic afar. And then it's in Gemara.
It's followed up in Tinus.
Yes.
And they say, and they come and they take the, they fill it with dirt instead of the diamond.
And they say it was the dirt of
Avram. And he says there's Avram.
So that's where they get the action movies.
Yeah.
Sounds like the oldest action movie we've in the book.
Yeah.
Even I didn't know about that. Thank you for letting me know.